Leviticus chapter 4. As you know, we've been going through pictures of Christ through the Old Testament. I've been using his, among others, but primarily his, going through this. And this is the 15th lesson in this study. I think there's 96 of them. I think there's 96 lessons going through the Old Testament on pictures of Christ. And this is the 15th one. It seems like we've gone so fast. But here in Leviticus chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, the one statement that keeps jumping out, and you will see this as we read it, the blood before the Lord, it just comes up about three times, I think, something like that. In verse 1, and the Lord, Jehovah, spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them. Now, let me stop here a second. This really jumped out at me this morning. If a soul sinned through ignorance, that soul is still not excused. He's still not excused. There still has to be bloodshed. This shows how holy God is. You and I can do something through ignorance, and we can say, and we do say to one another, well, he didn't know it. You know, he didn't know. God can't say that. That really struck me this morning. God can't do that. God is so holy, righteous, that even a sin of ignorance has got to be paid for. That really struck me this morning, of the God of God's holiness. Now, if the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin, he's not excused either, which he hath sinned, a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. And he shall bring the bullock unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. See how that keeps coming up? Well, you'll see here. And shall lay his hand upon the bullock's head. This is an act of faith to do this also. And kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priest that is anointed shall take of the bullock's blood, bring it to the tabernacle of the congregation, and the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle of the blood seven times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary. And the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour all the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the altar. None of it's left. All of it's poured out. Christ shed all of his blood. But they'll put and shall pour all the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, there's one thing that's very clear when we read the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, and it's the blood. The blood, the blood, the blood. I started to title this the blood, the blood, the blood, because it's without the blood, there's no remission of sins. God said in Exodus 12, when I see the blood, not when I see your repentance, not when I see your faith, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. In Leviticus 17, the life of the flesh is in the blood. You can take a blood test, and they can tell what's going on in your body. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Hebrews 9, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no forgiveness of sins, not even the sins of ignorance. David said in the Psalm, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Our Lord put away sins that we don't even know. We're not even aware of. We're not even really aware of it. You know, to not love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might is probably the greatest sin. That unbelief being the greatest, but not to love God, no, that has to be the greatest. And yet, our Lord put that away. And we won't realize until we stand in His presence how little we really did love Him. We do love Him more than we ever did before. But my, how short that love is. How short it is. And the Lord put away. He put away all our sins, even the sins of ignorance. 1 Peter 1, it says, you were redeemed, not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious, precious blood of Jesus Christ. If there's one thing that I could look back on maybe myself and have a regret, is that I didn't make more of the blood. Did not preach more of the blood. People ought to leave knowing that their sins are gone only by the blood of Christ. Only by the blood. Now, throughout the Old Testament, this shedding of blood shows us, through the sin offerings and the sacrifices, that there must be, we see these offerings, these sin offerings, these sacrifices done. You go on down and read the rest of that chapter, how that bullock is parted and sectioned off and all this. There's got to be suffering and death, not just death. Christ could not just come into this world and just die. He has to suffer and die. Because our sins deserve suffering. Suffering. And so there has to be suffering and death. And we see this all through the Old Testament. And we see through the sacrifices, the death of these sacrifices, these animals, we see that sin deserves death. That's what it deserves, death. The punishment for our sins is not just suffering, but death. The reason every person dies, the root cause is sin. It's not old age. It's not cancer. Those are second causes. It's sin. That's why when we get to glory, when we are standing in heaven, we are on that new earth, there'll be no more sorrow, no more death. Because why? No more sin. No more sin. It's gone. It's gone. Listen here. In Genesis 2, 17. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Not get sick. Die. Man's not sick. Man's not crippled. Man's dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's what it says, Ezekiel 18, verse 4 and verse 20. And in Romans 6, 23, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. People want what they work for, don't they? They demand what they work for. God's going to give it to them. The wages of sin is death. Now, in order for our Lord to be a proper redeemer, one who redeems, and for Him to be a proper substitute, He has to suffer and die what I must suffer and die. He's got to do it in my place. What belongs to me, He's got to take it to Himself. Suffering and death belong to me and all of His elect. And the only way that God can honor his holy law, and it's going to be honored. God's law is going to be honored. You know, those whom God saves, they are either saved to the praise and glory of his grace, or they will be punished, they will perish unto the praise and glory of his justice. God's going to be glorified either way. But for him to honor his law and satisfy his perfect justice, Jesus Christ, as not only as God, but the God-man, he's got to come into this world and suffer and die in the stead of those whom he saves. That's substitution. I don't make him my substitute. By faith, I do not make him my substitute. God made him my substitute. God made him both Lord and Christ. God made him my Lord and my Christ, my Savior, my Messiah. And God made him my substitute. And for him to do that, he had to become a man, and in doing so, he died under the penalty of law. And the law has nothing against us now. When I say us who believe. And all who shall believe. All his chosen. Which is sinners. Sinners. Multitude of sinners. And all the blood sacrifices under the law of Moses. Here's what they typified. They typified the Lord Jesus Christ taking the place of sinners. You see, they in the Old Testament here, the bullock is taking the place of the children of Israel. Not Egypt, not the Philistines, of Israel. And Jesus Christ died for God's Israel. He died for God's Israel. And if you'll notice throughout the Old Testament, when these animals were chosen, there were no wild beasts chosen among them to offer up as a sacrifice. They didn't go choose something that was wild and untamed. It was always a bullock, a lamb, something that was calm and tame, and they could just lead it over to the place where it's to be sacrificed. Cut its throat, bleed it, then just cut it up. Our Lord, see, here's what this shows. This shows that our Lord was willing to die in our place. They didn't drag him to the cross. He told them to get up. When he said, I am, they fell down, he said, get up. And he willingly went to the cross. No man, he said, no man takes my life from me. You don't have that kind of power. Man does not have that kind of power. He said, I lay down my life. No man takes it from me. I lay it down. I lay it down and I take it up again. As God, he was able to raise himself up again. So those animal sacrifices, they were always of a tame sort. And then, if you'll notice here, it said that they were to be young. Those bullocks were to be young, not get an old bullock. Our Lord was 33 years old when he was crucified. At 68, I realize now how young 33 is. 33 is young. It's young. He was in the full strength of life. He was young, and it says that they had to be without blemish, which shows his holy nature. What pictures are drawn so clear for us? I mean, it's like looking at a painting on a wall. It's so clear to see these things. I think I sent Tommy a text. He sent me a text of a portion of scriptures and gave some comments on it. And I said, it's easy, and I quoted scripture, It's easy to them that understand. The picture, it is not clear to those who don't understand the gospel. You can't see any of this. You can't see Christ in any of this. But you can. You can. Some of you can. You can see him just as clear as can be. God's given you new eyes. God's given you eyes of faith. You see, faith has eyes. You see beyond what these eyes see. You know, these eyes can only see the horizon. We can look up and see the moon, the stars, and the trees, and, you know, we can see what's created. But we can't see God until God gives us eyes to see him. And then it becomes very real. You know, when you open your eyes and you look at something, that something is very real to you. It exists. Faith is the substance. It gives real substance to the things hoped for. The Lord Jesus Christ, I've never seen him. I've never seen the Father with these eyes. I see him by faith. I see him by faith. You do too. You do too. God's given you eyes to see. And then this blood here of the bullock was to be poured out at the bottom of the altar. It was to be poured out. Can't you just see the blood of Christ being shed here? It was poured out. And then here the blood was shed before the Lord. This statement just keeps coming up. Before the Lord, before the Lord. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified on Calvary's tree, that was not an offer to you and me. That was not an offer to me. That was to the Lord. That was to the capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah. That was to Jehovah, the one true God. He offered up himself unto the Lord. That's who he offered himself. And he offered himself before the Lord. Before the Lord, because it was before him and unto him that the blood was shed. When the Passover lamb in Egypt, the blood was shed, it was put to death. Where did they put the blood? On the outside. Did they put it on the inside of the door? There was no blood on the inside of that door. When they shut that door, they couldn't see the blood. It had to be an act of faith on the inside. They had to believe that that they did what God said, and that blood right there, the blood over the door would save them. God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. But that blood was on the outside. It wasn't on the inside. God said, when I see it, you do what I say. Put the blood on the door and go inside the house, shut the door. And when I see the blood, when I see it, you see, it's before the Lord. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. The suffering and death of Christ on the behalf of everyone for whom he died, for every one of them, was before the Lord. Jehovah. Christ, I tell you, this is what gives me and all of God's children, this is what gives us comfort. That blood is before the Lord on our behalf. You know what that blood says? Well, you know that sinful thought you just had? Or you'll have here in a minute? It's been paid for. When you leave here and you say something you wish you hadn't said, it's been paid for. There's the blood. The blood answers for the sins that I ask forgiveness for. The blood answers for the sins I don't even know. I don't even know. The blood answers for those sins. They're gone. They're gone. If God ever makes me and you to really understand what sin is and who he is, we'll have a great appreciation for the blood that was shed for those sins so that God could be merciful and God could be gracious and God could bring us to heaven as sons and daughters and live there forever and ever and ever in paradise. In paradise. So the blood was shed before the Lord. And then here's something that the blood being shed before the Lord also, it declares his righteousness. It declares the righteousness. Aren't you glad God's righteous? Are you glad God's holy? I'm glad he is. You know, there was a time when I and you wished that God wasn't so strict. That what we're saying, that he wasn't so holy. That he'd lower the standards. God's not going to lower the standards. But I tell you what God Almighty is going to do, he's going to meet the standards on our behalf. And we're going to come into his presence having met the standard of holiness in Christ. Now the blood here that was shed does not change who God is. It doesn't change who God is. God is immutable. It means he's unchangeable. But here's what it does. It magnifies who God is. God is holy, and he will not lower the standards, but he will meet the standards that he might have mercy and grace on a multitude of sinners. The death of Christ is not, someone said this, the death of Christ did not cause God to love us. It's a result of God loving us. It's the result. God is love, God is merciful, God is gracious. But God also is holy, just, and righteous, isn't he? And that's going to be honored first. See, that's got to be taken care of first. And then he can be gracious to us and merciful to us, kind. And that's the reason when in the Garden of Eden, you know, the blood was before the Lord, before creation. Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And that's why when Adam fell, God did not annihilate the whole of creation, of which he made Adam over, because the blood had been before the Lord, even before the foundation of the world. Christ, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And this blood was brought into the tabernacle, and it was placed on the altar. What this shows here, it gives power to the intercession of the priest. You see, our Lord intercedes for us. But what's the power? What's the power in his intercession? What is it? Is it the fact that he's God? Without the blood, his intercession is not going to do us any good. He's interceding his blood. Forgive them. He can say to the Father, forgive John. Why? Because he's asking the Father to? Not without reason. Forgive John, because here's the blood for his sins. I'm telling you, get a hold of that. Forgive him. Here's the blood for his sins. Here's the blood shed. Here's the suffering. Suffering. It was brought in and it was placed in that tabernacle on the altar. And that is what intercedes for us. Not just words, but his blood. And that priest would put his hands on the head of the bullock, signifying our sins laid on Christ. And we lay our hands on him by faith. Symbolically. Symbolically. We lay our hands on him by faith. Isn't it funny? It's interesting where the Father and the sinner meet at the same place, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is where we come together, right here. And the shedding of his blood shows his oneness with us. You see, as God, he has no blood. As God, he has no blood. As the God-man, he has blood. He has blood. And this shedding of blood also shows the full payment of debt. He fully paid our debt. That means I don't owe anything. Paul says, owe no man anything but to love one another. But I owe no debt to God's law. You know, God's law is so holy, so strict, that if you just have a second of a thought of sin, you're in trouble. You're in deep trouble. In fact, if the blood of Christ doesn't put away that thought, you perish forever. That's how holy God is. But his blood has put that away. And then the priest sprinkled the blood seven times before the Lord. This seven times is that's a number of perfection. We don't need to go eight times. Remember, Moses struck the rock one time. The second time he told Moses, speak to the rock. And Moses was upset and he struck the rock twice. Don't do that. Because God said one time. And here this sprinkling of the blood shows the effectual, sufficient blood of Christ. His suffering, his death, his blood is sufficient. We don't need to add anything to it. And you and I are so sinful, we got to keep being reminded of this every week, don't we? We have to be reminded every week. And then there's the altar of sweet incense. That stood out to me. The death of Christ is sweet smell to God. The death of our substitute, because there's a smell of obedience. You know, obedience has a good smell to it. There's a smell of obedience. There's a smell of righteousness. There's a smell of holiness. There's a smell. That's a sweet smell to God. It's a sweet smell to God. And this sweet incense is also a type of the intercession of our Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf. His intercession to us is like sweet incense to the Father. And it's sweet to us too. His blood, listen here, on the altar shows the fulfillment also of the covenant. You know, there's got to be the death of the testator before the covenant can be enforced. Well, here it is. Here's the blood showing the death of the testator. There's the blood. And the blood, it said, after they sprinkled seven times before the Lord, the rest of it was to be poured out at the bottom of the altar. Christ shed all his blood. All that blood, listen, all that blood was shed. It was poured out. It was poured out at the bottom of the altar, showing that there was nothing left. Right now, our Lord sits at God's right hand, and there is no blood flowing through his veins. And when you and I die, and we go to glory, and we receive that new body, there's no blood flowing through our veins, because the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the believer in that new body, the life of it is Jesus Christ. It's not the blood flowing through the veins. Right now, the life of this flesh, this body right here, is in the blood that's flowing through it. Oxygen goes through it. What I eat today, the nutrients that are in that food will go into my bloodstream, and it'll go throughout my whole body. We won't have that in heaven. Jesus Christ is our life. The life of our body in heaven, that new body, that spiritual body, it's a spiritual body, a real body, physical body, but it's a spiritual body. And it doesn't need blood. There's no blood flowing through the veins of Jesus Christ. He's shed it all here. And we're going to have the same spiritual body. Listen, I know we can't grasp this, but we're going to have the same type of spiritual body that he has. And the life of that body is Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I don't need my heart pumping blood through this body. Don't need it. I don't need it. And his blood of atonement gives acceptance to our worship this morning. Don't you wish you could worship God perfectly this morning? Don't you wish for one complete minute that you could listen and concentrate without floating off somewhere like hot air balloons? His blood is what makes our worship accepted this morning. It cleanses away all the sin. It's the blood before the Lord. All right.